let me tell you what I want to try and achieve here. This is the first of potentially an 80-90 part series. We'll see how we get on. As I say to you, I'm not going to go through every single source on the sheet. I'm not going to read everyone inside. I'm going to bring out the ideas. I would like your input, what you thought of it, how you understand it, etc. Let's see what's going on. The main part of this sheet basically revolves around two machlekot, two debates, two disputes, as in yeshivish, two machlekesim. But I say machlekesim, but it's not right, okay? Two machlekot. One of them is a machlokes about when the Torah was written, and one of them is a machlokes about when the Torah was given, okay? And there may be a third issue, which is when the Torah was transmitted from Moshe to the Jewish people. So get these three issues clear in your mind. The question as to when did God tell Moshe the stuff that he needed to know? That's one question. When did Moshe tell that stuff to the Jewish people? That's the second question. And when was it eventually written down into a Sefer Torah? That's the third question. And two of those three questions are the subject of these major debates, and you'll see that they go together and they cross-reference each other in many ways. The first couple of sources, the first is just a quote from the Ani Ma'amin about Torah. Now, of course, who wrote the Ani Ma'amins? No. Who wrote the Ani Ma'amins? Somebody else that we don't know who they were wrote the Ani Ma'amins in order to summarize and abbreviate the 13 principles of the Rambam. The Rambam did not write them. And they don't even say what the Rambam said in all cases. If you want to know what the Rambam really said about the 13 Ikrim, you have to read who? Not the Mishnah Torah. You have to read the Rambam, where he wrote them. He wrote them in the commentary on the Mishnah, the very beginning of his life, but that's not this course. We may have a Chabura later in the year on the Yud Gimel Ikrim of the Rambam at lunchtime or whatever. We'll see how that develops as we go on. But the Ani Ma'amins are not from the Rambam. And if anyone asks you about the 13 Ikrim, don't start going on about the Ani Ma'amins. First of all, there's a Sephardi and an Ashkenazi version. They're different. Anyway, not for now. For now, it's all we need to know is number one. Ani Ma'amin ben Munah Shleimah Shekol HaTorah Masuya Tabi Yadenu. The entire Torah we have today, he and the Tunah Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Shalom. That's the same Torah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Nice statement. Every single thing in the Torah we have today was what was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. What does that mean? How does that work? What kind of Torah? What is the Torah they're talking about? Written Torah? Oral Torah? Was everything given to Moshe Rabbeinu? There was I was on a bus once in Poland, and a young lady sitting behind me. I was with a group, you know, going round on a trip with a bunch of Sem girls many years ago. One of the girls asked one of the rabbis sitting behind me. The rabbi, was the Gemara given on Har Sinai? And the rabbi said, yes. Which is a reasonable answer based on sources that we'll see next time as well. And the girl came up to me a few weeks later and said to me, I don't understand, if the Gemara was given on Har Sinai, like, why is it written in Aramaic and not written in Hebrew? Which is not actually a good question, because they had Aramaic at the time of Har Sinai and whatever, and the Gemara is written in Hebrew. But what she was really asking was, why does the Gemara talk about people, places, events, things that happened thousands of years after Har Sinai? Are you telling me this was given on Har Sinai? How does that work? That we'll address that next time. But even with the written Torah, was the Chumash given on Har Sinai? Did Moshe Rabbeinu get a Chumash on Har Sinai? Now, you've just learned the sheet, from which you will now answer no. But I wonder how many people, if they hadn't learned these sources, would assume, well, I suppose so, Moshe got a Chumash on Har Sinai. I don't know, what did you think before? Before you learned today's sheet, did people think that Moshe got a Chumash on Har Sinai? I don't know, but I think many people think that. But it doesn't make any sense, if you think about it. How could Moshe come down with a Chumash, and yet still all the things happening in the Chumash that happened afterwards? He kept it quiet, he didn't tell anybody. Why did he send the spies? Just like, roll to page, like, you know, 76, and you'll see that, oh, that's a bad idea, let's not do that this week. You know? Yeah. Why did he hit the rock? Just roll a bit more, like, you know, it doesn't make much sense. And we see nobody says that. Nobody. There is no shita that the written Torah in the form that we have it today was given to Moshe on Har Sinai. It was given afterwards. We'll see how that works. So something happened on Har Sinai. Something very important happened. And something very big was given. We'll see what that was and how that works. Of course, there are two Torahs. Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebaal Peh. I brought you the Limud from the Pasukim Vayikra. It says, V'hatoras Hashem Nasan Hashem. Of course, the pshat in the word Torot in number two doesn't mean two Torahs. What does the word Torah mean? Mishpatim v'hatorot. In the Chumash, how is the word Torah used? Right, it just means a bunch of rules. Torah ta'olah, Torah ta'chatat. You know, the word Torah, when it talks about Torah in the Chumash, it does not refer to what we call the Torah. Later in Tanakh, sometimes it talks about Torat Moshe, which is talking about what we call the Torah, the Chumash, yeah? But the Chumash itself doesn't talk about itself as the Torah. It talks about itself as other things. Now, let's have a look. When was the Torah written? Let's deal with the first question first. Please feel free to interrupt me at any stage with questions that are on the topic. Let's have a look at number four. I'm not going to read all these psukim, but basically at some point Moshe writes this down. Ve'ichtav Moshe es haTorah hazos. Moshe then writes this Torah, which is, what does this Torah mean? Is it Devarim? Is it other things, etc.? Ve'itna ala Kohenim, and he gives it to the Kohenim, b'nei Levi, hanosin ala Aaron, bris Hashem, ve'alkol zikne Yisrael. Fine, he gives it to the elders, he writes down something. Va'ata, and there's a command, kisvu lachem, write for yourselves, et hashira hazot. Write for yourselves this Shira. Okay. What is the Shira we're talking about there? Suggestions? The Torah. Other suggestions? More obvious suggestion.
As Yashir.
As Yashir, not as Yashir, but you're on the right track. Shirat Hazinu. As Yashir is a Shirat Hayam, yeah? As Yashir, Shirat Hazinu, it comes straight after this. So maybe he's been asked to write Shirat Hazinu, Velamda et Bnei Yisrael, and teach it to the Jewish people, Sima Mepihim, and put it in their mouth so that they know it. Lamanti El Shira Hazot Le'ed Bnei Yisrael. By the way, just as an aside, when did they sing Shirat Hayam?
After they came out.
Okay, good. That's an easy question. When did they sing Shirat Hazinu? They did not. Shirat HaZinu was not anything that anyone ever sang. Shirat HaZinu is a poem which is given to the Jewish people as a way of understanding Jewish history. It's my bar mitzvah parsha, so I like it. But even if it wasn't, I might still like it. But the point is that Shirat HaZinu was given, it's a summary of Jewish history, past, present and future, so the Jewish people will understand, and it's not a hacky song. And no one's laughing when they sing Shirat HaZinu. It's all about how the Jewish people will rebel and get destroyed and then, you know, come back from Golas, etc., etc. It's an important thing to know. But according to other shitas, the Shira is the Torah itself. That he's being told at this stage to write down the Torah. Look at the Ramban number 5. The Yitzhak Moses says, Torah Azois. Here he understands the word Torah, not like I just said before, but the Torah refers to the entire Chumash. The Ramban says this: Mitchilat Breishit ad le'Einei Kol Yisrael. Now, what's Einei Kol Yisrael? What's that? The last pasuk in the Torah, from the very beginning of Breishit to Einei Kol Yisrael. I should put that in like in chukchiks, in what do you call those things? Quotation marks. The Einei Kol Yisrael. Meaning, the Ramban's shita is that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah when?
At the end.
And what? No, not at Har Sinai. You said Har Sinai. When is it? Vayichtav Moshe as a Torah. When does that come? It comes at the very end. It comes at the end of Sefer Devarim, when in the top sukkim number 4. That's when he wrote down the Torah. Not in the middle, not at the beginning, etc. We'll see how that fits in with the number 6, etc. By the way, as an aside, why is the Torah called a Shira? What does a Shira mean? What does a Shira really mean? A poem, exactly. A Shira is more a poem. Don't forget, a poem and a song are the same thing, more or less, except a song is a poem put to music. Okay? Why is the Torah called a Shira, a poem? What does that tell you about the Torah?
Depth.
It needs. You need to. Did anyone do any English literature analysis, poetry, and that kind of thing? Yeah. How do you approach a poem? You approach it with a lot of thoughts and other ideas, and you look for allusions, and you look for depth, and you look for. You don't read it like you read the New York Times. Okay. It's not just like what it says. Poetry is deep. The Netziv says this in his introduction to the Chumash. When the Torah is called a Shira, it means that you're looking at it in great depth. We'll see that with the Netziv properly. Later on, and you bring to it the styles of analysis that you would bring Lehavdil to poetry as well. Fine. Let's get into this first, excuse me, Machlokas number 6. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Shor Rabbi Noah. Torah Megillah Megillah Nitna. Rabbi Yochanan says Torah was given Megillah Megillah. What does Megillah Megillah mean? In increments. Oh, that's a very posh word. Maybe a slightly more common word. Installments, I think you mean. Obviously it means scrolls, but it was given in installments. It was given in parts. Increments, I think, is exactly the right word, but it was given in parts. Shineimar, and he brings the posse from Tehillim. Azamar Tehine Bati b'Megillat Sefer Katuf Alai. I'm not getting into how the Pesukim prove this point. We're not learning the Gemara in depth here, but the point is he was given Megillah Megillah. Reb Shimon ben Lokish, also called Reish Lokish, same guy, called Shimon. Shimon ben Lokish is Reish Lokish, says, Torah chasuma nitna. The Torah was given chatuma. What does that mean? Signed, what does that mean, signed? Complete, all at once, in one unit, sealed. Means it's a sealed unit. Here, here's the Torah. That's how it was written down. Shneimar, lakach et sefer haTorah hazeh. It brings the psukim from the period that we had in number 4, that you have to take this Torah. Moshe's handing over a Torah. Fine. Rashi understands differently to the Ramban in these shittas. If you look at number 7, what's Rashi's pshat in Megillah Megillah? What does it mean the Torah was given Megillah Megillah? What does Rashi say? Kishnemre Pashal and Moshe haya kosefer. So what's he saying? You summarize me? Oh, exactly. Moshe Rabbeinu was receiving ongoing instruction from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As he received instruction, he wrote it down, and then at the very end, he put it all together. Okay, that's Megillah Megillah. It was given in installments, but certainly not at the beginning, not at the end, in installments all the way through. Fine. Chatuma, what does Chatuma mean? So Rashi says, well, summarize, tell me what it means. What does Chatuma mean? Complete meaning, when did he get it? When did he? Everything at the end. Just like we saw in the Ramban in number 5, he wrote it down at the end, where he says everything he got in the Shana Rishona. Let's read this Rashi inside, actually important. Lo nichtava ad sof mem, it was only written at the end of 40 years. La acha shenemru kol ha-parashis, after all of the parashis were given, kulan, v'hanem morus, lo, everything that was said to him, b'shana Rishona v'shni, in the first and second year. One of the girls here pointed out what happened in the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, all the way to the last year. What happened then? Rashi says everything he got in the first and second year. What about the stuff he got in the 15th year, in the 28th year? It's not recorded. We don't know anything that happened in these 38 years. The Torah switches from the end of the second year to the 40th year in which parsha? In Sefer Bamidbar. But in which parsha? Where do we find the switch? Clues? Ba? Nearly, very close. Chukat, actually, probably. In other words, in Korach, we're still at the beginning. Yeah? Korach is at the beginning of the desert experience. Okay? Straight after the Meraglim. By the death of Miriam, we're already at the end. So, like, what happened? Where did we segue from the beginning to the end? There are those that want to suggest, I can't remember who says this, that the Parsha Chukah, which starts with the idea of the dead and the tumah over the dead, those psukim represent the passing away and the death of all the Dor HaMidbar through those 38 years until we get eventually to the last year. But in any event, we don't seem to have anything going on in these 38 years. What were they doing? Wandering around, learning Torah, whatever. It doesn't say. The Chumash doesn't feel it's necessary for us to know. We don't know what they were doing exactly, but says this opinion, Chatuma, that everything was given right at the end. Now, according, not given, but written. According to the Chatuma, what was the Chumash during that period until it was written down? What was it?
Oral.
It was oral. It was Torah Shebal Peh. Therefore, was it fixed?
No.
No. It was not fixed. It was fluid. Could it change? Yes, the text could change. Torah Shebal Peh is not a text. It's ideas. And therefore, according to the Shita of Reish Lakish, that the Torah was given Chasuma, it meant that the entire Torah was, until the very end, all, if you like, somewhat fluid in terms of how exactly it was going to come out. And at the very end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, right, okay, all this stuff we've been discussing for 40 years, this is what I want you to write. And this is how it gets written out. And then it became crystallized and fixed in that way. But until then, it was a bit more fluid. Yeah.
The first one, it's less fluid, you're saying, because they were written right down as things.
Right. Once you've written something down, then it becomes fixed. Even then, though, I think when it says Moshe Rabbeinu sewed them all together at the end, remember I asked you to look at, just skip for a second to number 9, and said what was funny about that pasuk? So, not those people that I told the answer to, but those people, someone that I didn't tell when they asked me. What did you feel that was funny about that pasuk in number 9? Yeah.
Basically, it's that the 40 years in the Midbar
happened
in the sake of the Midbar.
Exactly. Well, exactly. Why are they talking about 40 years in the Midbar? It says they ate the man for 40 years. You read that and think, oh yeah, they ate the man for 40 years. You know, why is anyone talking about 40 years? 40 years is only a product of the Chetz HaMeraglim. No one should be talking about 40 years in Sefer Shemot. Did you ever think about that? Like, why? Why is this there? Why are they talking about 40 years? Oy vey, what does that mean? The answer is that according to the idea that Torah was written chatuma, then it makes perfect sense, right? The whole thing was written at the end anyway. It wasn't written in Sefer Shemot. It wasn't written when Sefer Shemot happened. It was written at the end. Of course, they wrote. The Moshe wrote according to the God told him to write 40 years. According to Megillah, so what are you going to say? So in Rashi, Shita, Megillah, maybe, I don't know, you'd have to say that when he stitched them all together at the end, Hashem told him, and here, put the final touches, you know, add this bit here, put that bit there, and then you have a sealed, finished unit from Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu. You have to say that in Rashi. In the Ramban, in a minute, it works a little bit easier, yeah.
So, but according to the opinion that I was given at the end also, not only written at the end, then it was only fluid, like, for Hashem. Like, it wasn't a fluid thing that, like...
Well, in terms of how Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching it, it was all in the Geder of Torah Shebaal Peh.
But Moshe couldn't have taught it unless it was given to him.
Yeah, as Torah Shebaal Peh. It was given to him as Torah Shebaal
Peh. So all opinions are that it was... Like, there is no opinion that it was given at the end.
Given him, oh no, correct, correct. Well, that's what they do for 40 years.
Right, that's
they're sitting standing waiting for something to happen. Correct, everybody, and that's where we're going to come to Rabbi Ishmael and Rabbi Akiva, right. Which is it was given, but how it was given, that's a question. But at the end, no one says it was given at the end. It was written at the end, maybe, but not given at the end. Is everyone with me? Yeah?
Yeah.
Bit of body language, nods,
so how does
smiles,
it,
frowns.
How
yes.
Does it make sense if it was
Megillah Megillah? Oh, so I think you have to say that Megillah Megillah means it was finally put together and sort of finished off. Hashem saying to Moshe, put this in here, put that in there, and finish that off. Of course, there is a big question on the last eight psukim, which I will just raise as a question right now, and I will decide whether we have a whole sheet on it, which we could. Who wrote the last eight psukim in the Torah?
Moshe dies.
Moshe dies, and not just the last eight psukim, but the last 12 psukim, which talk about Moshe's death. So, who wrote them? So, the Gemara gives two options. Do you remember what they are? No, we haven't learnt it. Moshe wrote it, or Yeshua wrote it. If Yeshua wrote it, then we open up the question, well, okay, so you're telling me there were psukim that were written in the Sefer Torah after Moshe died. That's clearly not what the Ramban said. He said he wrote Mitchilat Breishit Ad Le'Ein Yisrael. And then you ask the question, well, I know, how can that be? How can you have a Sefer Torah which has got psukim written in it by other people other than Moshe Rabbeinu? Yeshua, when did Yeshua write it? Straight after? Years after? And then you get into an enormous discussion in the Meforshim, the Ibn Ezra, and various other people about that issue, which I'm not getting into now, but I'm just going to mention it to you. Okay? Just flag it somewhere, put it in a little box in your head as something that we need to deal with at some stage. Now, just look at very briefly number 8. I'm going quite fast because, you know, this is not that complicated and I want to try and finish the sheet. Number 8 is the Ramban's Shita in Megillah Megillah. Now, the Ramban himself, in number 5, keep clear here, he went with which Shita when he talks about the writing of the Torah? Right, he went with Reish Lakish's Shita, which was given Chatuma. But here he's explaining the concept of Megillah Megillah. Look what he said, number 8. Beritu min ahar, kasav mitchilas haTorah ad Sefer HaMishkan. When he came down, Sipur HaMishkan, sorry. When he came down from the mountain, so he writes down the Sipur HaMishkan, the story of up to the Mishkan. The Gamar haTorah, kasav basayif, and the rest of the Torah he wrote to the end, Shnat Arbaim, in the 40th year. V'zeh kedivrei ha'omer Torah Megillah Megillah. And this is going according to the view of Megillah Megillah. Aval the Divrei Ha'omer Torah Chatuma Nitna, according to the other view of Chatuma, Nichtav HaKol B'Shnat Ha'Arbaim. Everything was written at the end of the 40th year. So just one subtle difference is, whereas Rashi understands Megillah Megillah means Moshe was writing it all down as it happened. Here it's just in two installments. According to the Ramban, Megillah Megillah means he got at Har Sinai everything safe of Rashi's up until the Mishkan. That's the first Megillah. The second Megillah was he got at the end. Now it's no longer a problem as to why he said in B'Shalach 40 years, because it was in the second lot that he got at the end. Okay, fine. Yeah.
Do Ramban and Rashi agree on Chatuma Nitna?
I'm not sure. I think it sounds like from Rashi in number 13, which we're going to get to now, I think it sounds like Rashi also goes with Chatuma. The Rambam...
What they interpret Chatuma to mean.
Yes. Chatuma everyone agrees. Okay. Chatuma means at the end. Yeah, which one they go for in terms of quote-unquote halacha. Like, why does anybody care, by the way? Like, what does it make? Whether the Torah was given this way or the Torah was given that way? Obviously it makes a difference, or the Gemara wouldn't record this. The Gemara is not interested in recording historical debates. By the way, you should know that. This is very important. when there's a machlokas, let's say, in the Meforshim, how old was Yitzchak at the Akedah? How old was Yitzchak at the Akedah? 30-something, 37, according to Rashi. According to the Ibn Ezra, how old was Yitzchak at the Akedah? 10, 11, little boy, whatever. Like, who cares about that? Why are they recording that? Why are they telling us that? Because it's important to be gone to the Shita in our reading and understanding of the Chumash that we understand it in this way. According to the Ibn Ezra, if I understand that Yitzchak was 37 years old, I won't understand a proper shot in the story. It's not how the story works. And therefore he wants, it's not just a technical dry debate. Here too, also, they want you to understand the Chumash in a certain way. When you read the words of the Chumash, how are you reading them? Are you reading them that they, if you like, comment on each other, that there's a certain fluidity that at the end of the 40 years is fixed? Or do you read them that it's like fixed along the way? And that could make a difference to how you learn the Chumash. It could make a big difference. Does the Chumash change in some way as it goes through from the beginning to the end? I'll give you an example. What did it say? The Mitzvah of Shabbos. I'm sure you all learned this. You all did Shabbos this morning. So I don't know about anybody else's class, but I started with Kiddush, and we have the Mitzvah Zohar Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kasha. I bet Rabbi Lerner did that too.
Yeah.
Did Rabbi Berz? Rabbi Berz probably didn't do that. He did that as well? Oh, and Rabbi Emmet? No, he didn't do that. Okay, fine, whatever. So, Zohar is Yom HaShabbos HaKosha. Where does it say that? Okay, on the Luchos. Fine. So, the Luchos appear twice in the Chumash. Once in Parashat Yitro, and once in Parashat Be'etchana. And in the second lot, what does it say?
Shamor.
Okay, so what did it say on the Luchos? What did it say? Shamor or Zohar? Both? Like magic? What does that mean? How can you say Zohar and Shamor at the same time? Was it written? It was written, right? So you can't write Shamor and Zohar at the same time. So what did it say? Zohar. So why does it say Shamor in Vaschanan?
Yeah,
fine, you can hear them both at the same time. But you can't write them both at the same time.
Okay, you just write Zohar and Shamor.
Maybe it was written one place.
So what was written on the actual Luchas he brought down?
Zachor.
Zachor.
But
so,
it says Shamor and Beshanan, yeah. Because it's both, that's why Hashem said both.
Ah, so you mean Shamor is not what was actually written, but Shamor is like a perush on, it explains what else Hashem said when he said Zachor.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Or am I putting words in your mouth?
No,
that's what you're saying. That's a very sophisticated chat, I think. The Ramban says that. The Ramban says that on, it said Zachor. So what's Shomer? What does the word Shomer mean in Dvarim? Shomer is a Peirush on Zohar. Dvarim Sheh is a kind of Peirush. In other words, this depends on how you read the Chumash. And this is very interesting stuff as to what the Chumash is. That's why we're learning this debate as to how to put the Chumash together, whether it comments on itself, whether it develops through the Chumash. But one thing's for sure, by the end of the 40 years, we have a Chumash. Moshe Rabbeinu gives the Chumash subject to the last eight parashas, Psukim, which we talked about briefly. And now we need to move on. Let us just go on for a second to page 2. Number 10 is the Rambam. The Rambam clearly goes with the Shita of who? Does the Rambam go with Reish Lakish or Rabbi Yochanan? Reish Lakish. He goes with Chasubi. He says it was written at the end. And of course, now you understand a little bit better Ein Mukdam Amucha B'Torah, which I gave you the Gemara Psachim. And you've heard this expression. What does Ein Mukdam Amucha B'Torah mean? Why is there no order in the Torah? But remember, it doesn't mean there's no order in the Torah. The Torah starts with the word Bereshit. Right, it's not necessarily in order. So why should there be such a concept in the Chumash? Right. Not just is not a history book, but according to what we're seeing here, it wasn't even written down in order. Do you understand?
It had all already happened by the time you were
right. Either it was, you know, chasuma, which means all of it was written at the end. In which case, why on earth should it be chronological? The whole thing's not someone writing a diary. Like, Ein Mukdam Amucha B'Diary is a kasha. How can you say Ein Mukdam Amucha B'Diary that he wrote January the 2nd after he wrote, you know, February the 5th? How does that work? You know, how could that be? Unless he went back and he pretended like that's fine. But this is not a diary. This is a book which was written at the end about what happened over the last 40 years. And then even Megillah, according to the Ramban, is not Shaila. It was almost all written at the end. And the Rashi, okay, was like, you know, finished at the end. So Ein Mukdam Amucha B'Torah is a fundamental principle which comes off the back of this idea that the Torah wasn't given on Har Sinai in a written form. Say that? Very fundamental. Of course, different Meforshim have different ways of employing the idea. Rashi is very quick to say Ein Mukdam L'Mochav HaTorah. Ramban is very slow to say, well, that's a different question, not for now. Now, let's go on to debate number two. Everybody happy? Everybody happy? Yeah. The back? A smile from the back? Oh, that's nice. Very good. Time for Dina. Thank you. Fine. Number 13. 12, excuse me. New debate. This debating is not a debate as to when the Torah was written, but when the information in the Torah was given. Have a look here. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, klalos nemru b'sinai u'pratos ba'ol moed. What's a klal? What is the root of the word klal? Right, kol meaning everything. And what is a prat? If you're in England, it means something a little bit different. But what a detail? Okay, fine. A detail, a klal and a prat. Okay, the rules and the details. According to Rabbi Shmuel, the rules were given at Har Sinai, but the pratos were given by Oel Moed. Where's the Oel Moed? Right, means what Moshe received on Har Sinai, and certainly what the Jewish people received, because they can't have received more than Moshe received. What Moshe received on Har Sinai was a broad outline. Okay, for example, you see the psukim in Parshas Mishpatim dealing with Shemitah, and they give some basic guidelines to Shemitah. Later in Bahar, which is Ohel Moed, they give much more detail in Shemitah. That's where Rabbi Shmuel is coming from. Parshas Mishpatim is basic outlines, and later the Torah gives more details. Fine. Rabbi Akiva Omer, no. Klalos upratos nemru b'sinai. Everything was given on Har Sinai. V'nishnu ba'oel moed, then it was repeated in Oel Moed. V'nishtal shu ba'arvas moed, and it was said a third time in Oel Moed. Rabbi Akiva understands that the Torah was given three times. Was it exactly the same Torah three times?
No.
It's not clear from Rabbi Shmuel, but it was exactly the same. It was said once, it was said twice, it was said three times. By the way, in practice, is it the same Torah? Is it the same words that we see in the Chumash, like Sinai, Oel Moed, and Arvas Moav?
No.
Certainly not. And I brought you this little diagram that my daughter very kindly made. Just look at the diagram for a second in number three, on page three at the top. For years I've been meaning to see this diagrammatically. There's no chiddush here, it's just the numbers of how many mitzvahs in each parsha. It's one in every two parshas which are listed here, just so that it can fit on the words. But you see very clearly that the Torah is in three units. There's nothing to talk about. This is what Chazal was saying when they were saying there were basically three Torahs given. Nothing was happened at the beginning, and then there's everything in Sinai, everything in Ol Moed, and then everything in Arvas Moed. This is basically Shemot, this is Vayikra, and this is Devarim. Why was the Torah given this way? Yeah, why was the Torah given this way, by the way? Why didn't Hashem just do it at Sinai? Answer?
People
would be overwhelmed. You mean they would have been given this?
To give it when it was relevant. Like, why give the mitzvah to Lisbaris when you're...
Yeah, but there are mitzvahs to Lisbaris in here as well. Shemitah's in here. And there are mitzvahs Shalom to Lisbaris in there. It works to a point, the Lisbaris point, but only to a point.
Oh, because also it's a review, so you'll learn it better if you go over.
Okay, you're forgetting something very important.
That yes. People
die from the Torah wasn't meant to be given like this. The Torah was meant to be given here. What did the Jewish people do? The Chataigel. They messed up the Torah from Sinai. Okay, this is plan A. Truth is, it's not really even plan A. What's plan A? Plan A is Gan Eden. You know, and plan B is like Noah. And plan C is like, you know, Mikab. No, we're already on plan Z, you know, or G or whatever it is. Plan A, so what did they do? So they did Chata Egel, less. So what do we move on to now? Plan B. Plan B is, okay, Vayikra. This is the post-Egel Torah. Okay? So what does Vayikra end with? Ends with a Tochacha. What's a Tochacha? Yeah, don't do it again. Tochacha. Okay, T. And of course, what do they do?
Meraglin.
Another Chet. They do it all again. New Chet, Meraglin. So what happens now? Plan C, okay, which is Sefer Devarim, which now ends with not just a tochacha, but a big tochacha, okay? Really, 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 honestly, serious this time, don't do it again, yeah? And that's what we have, a tochacha there. Whether they did do it again is a different question. You can read the rest of Nach for that. The point here is that understand the Torah is like this, and this is what Rabbi Akiva is saying, except he's not saying the Torah was necessarily the same each time, but he's saying it's given in three units. Although he's saying that everything was given on Sinai and repeated again, it does sound as though it's very similar. But we'll see how that works. We'll see in the Chazon Ish at the end. Now, so just understand there's that debate as well as the debate about the writing. Please turn to page 2. We'll just pick up a few important sources here. Rashi, by the way, in the debate between Rabbi Ishmael and Rabbi Akiva, who do you expect we'd follow? Why do you say that? Who said that? Why do you say that? Yeah, but how do you know that's what we follow? I mean, you may be right, I'm not disagreeing with you, but if you were to choose between Rabbi Ishmael and Rabbi Akiva, on what basis would you choose? You can't choose on the basis that, like, 2,000 years later, we know which one we do.
Because after Hasidai, they started keeping details already.
So you're asking on Rabbi Ishmael, you know, how would they keep the details? How do we know that? How do we know they started keeping the details already? Does it say that? Probably somewhere. Rabbi Akiva would say that. But what does the Chumash say?
Yeah.
In a halachic debate between Rabbi Shem and Ishmael and Rabbi Akiva, who would you expect to follow? Rabbi Akiva. How do you know?
Because we always rely on
Baal Peor. Right, that is one of the klalim of Psak Halacha, is that there's Machlokas Rabbi Akiva and anybody else, one other person, we always follow Rabbi Akiva. Is this a halachic debate? Probably not. Maybe yes. Not sure. Whatever. It's an interesting question. We'll see most of the Mephoshim. Rashi in number 14 follows Rabbi Akiva. Okay? Very famous. This is like a 5-star famous Rashi. Everybody knows this Rashi, right? The Rashi at the beginning of Vahar. Let's look at Rashi for a second in number 14. Ma'in Yishmita Etzel Harsinai, because it says on Vahar that Hashem gave the mitzvah on Harsinai. Why are we mentioning Harsinai? Follow kol mitzvahs nemru b'Sinai. It wasn't everything given at Sinai. Elamash mitzvah nemru klal ezeo prateo diktukeo m'Sinai. He adds diktukeo in. Just like Shmita was given with all its details, with all its principles and details and tiny details. Af kulam nemru klal ezeo diktukeo m'Sinai. Kach shnuyah b'Torah's Kohen. He quotes Torah's Kohen, which is Rabbi Kiva's Shita. Okay, so Rashi goes to Rabbi Akiva, other people too. You had your hand up?
Yeah, but like when you get further,
then what?
Prove that it's Rabbi Ishmael.
Why?
Because Moshe didn't know the answer.
Oh, good. So this is a big cash on Rabbi Akiva.
But then there's a different answer to that maybe Moshe should have known the answers, like he had enough information and he should have just figured it out.
So it's a problem with Moshe.
Yeah.
That Moshe forgot the answers.
Or no, he just was given like basic rules and he was supposed to put together the information and figure it out.
And he didn't.
Yeah.
And is that a problem?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll deal with that now.
Wait, how do you know that Rashi follows?
Because he says. Look at what he says. His words. He says, Mashmita nemru klaloteha upratoteha v'dikdukeha misina. The Klalim and the Pratim of Sinai. Which Shita is that? Rabbi Kiva Shita. Clearly Rabbi Kiva Shita. The Pesukim at the bottom of the page here were just where we see that Hashem spoke at Sinai, Ohel Moed, Arvas Moed. Okay? Always understand Chumash in that like threefold way. I'm not going to go through this Pesukim, you can see them for yourself. Go to page 3 for a second. We raised the interesting question, which you raised, what's your name again?
Gabriella.
About why did Moshe Rabbeinu not know these mitzvahs? Which of the four mitzvahs, the four episodes that Moshe Rabbeinu did not know?
The Makalo,
the guy who was cursing Hashem. Okay, the Makoshesh, gathering sticks on Shabbos. Pesach Sheni, and the Benoslof. These are the four.
What about the Pinchas one?
Very good. So there are other occasions where Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what to do, or did the wrong thing. Like Pinchas, everyone was frozen and no one was doing anything, or at the rock, when Moshe hits the rock, and this, that, and the other. They are all situations in which Moshe Rabbeinu on some level is, whatever this means, criticized, in the sense that he got angry, or he should have known, and here, no, Moshe Rabbeinu is not criticized. Like, no one expects Moshe to know the answer. No one says to Moshe, why don't you know, etc. Moshe says, that's a great question. Let me go and check with Hashem. It's like a very normal kind of process, not a crisis moment. Not a crisis moment. The question is, why did Moshe not know? According to Rabbi Ishmael, the answer is... He didn't know yet. He was given the general principles on Sinai. And then later on, he was given the details. So they could have not Slavchad come and say, well, what about us? And he says, okay, great question. That's just another detail that I'm going to have to check out with Hashem. You're in a long line of people with a bunch of detailed questions. Let's go and check it out now. According to Rabbi Akiva, what are you going to say? I'm going to say, he's meant to know it all. Why doesn't he know it? He's not having a crisis. He shouldn't forget it now. Why didn't he know it? So what is the Maharal? If you got this Maharal, let's look at this Maharal for a second. In number 20, it should be 23. It says 21, it should be 23. Look at the Maharal, Gur Ariyeh. The Maharal says like this. V'tema, this is astounding, he says. Astounding. Kevin de Kaimalan. What does Kaimalan mean? Important words. Kaimalan means we paskin-like, we rule-like, we follow the position of the Kolatera Nitnu Mahar Sinai, Klalotera Pratera Diktukea, which is the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. The Maharal takes it for granted we follow Rabbi Akiva, like Rashi followed Rabbi Akiva, that everything was given on Sinai and repeated and repeated. Im Kain, Lama Lo Yada Moshe Rabbeinu, Alav Shalom Din, Shiyad. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu not know what the din was? But you're a loma, you have to say, it says, it seems you have to say, even though, yes, he was given all the details. Now look at these words very carefully, because if you saw this, you may have missed it, and if you didn't see it, you certainly missed it. Okay? Look at what he says. Davar Zem, on the second line, number 23, here you need to read the text. Davar Zem nitnaloi al yedei, how was it given to him, all these details? Through the means that Shehaya Yochel Lilmoid Behekesh Omibinyanav Omidroshima.
He had to figure it out. He was given
So look what the Maharal's just done. The Maharal's just said that even according to Rabbi Akiva, Moshe Rabbeinu was not given every single detail of Har Sinai. What does he mean he was given every detail?
He was given everything, but he had to figure it out.
He was given the potential, he was given the tools in order to figure it all out by itself. That's quite different, no? Isn't that different?
Yeah.
It's much closer to Rabbi Yishmael, number one. But it's understanding the Sinai experience a little bit different. Ukaasha lo yada lahavin, and when he didn't know, taka, when he was stumped, and he said, look, I just don't know the answer now. Then he has to go to God and say, get a specific parish. What you're beginning to see here, and we'll pick this up much more next time, because next time I want to move on to Torah Shabbat Peh. I've got 5 minutes still today. But next time when we get to Torah Shabbat Peh and we start asking, what does it mean when we say that everything was given on Sinai? What it might mean is that a certain amount was given on Sinai with the potential for us to learn the rest out. Now, that makes a big difference to how you view Sinai and how you view Torah. When it said at the beginning, Ani ma'amin be'emunah shleima, that all the Torah was given at Sinai, whatever. What does that mean? Does it mean, like the girls asking in Poland, every single piece of information was given to Moshe? Many people, you go to a seminar, whatever, a Kirov seminar, and they'll say, right, there's the written Torah and there's the oral Torah, and the oral Torah was given to Moshe and passed down for every generation ever since. Is that right? Was the oral Torah really given in every detail? Was it given in a way that it could be worked out later? There's a big difference between the two. I don't know. How were you taught at high school? I'm just interested to know. Were you taught that the oral Torah was given and passed down? Or were you taught that the basic rules were given and things were developed later?
No, that was given.
Given and passed down. Bit of both. You have to be aware that if you're a thinking person, and, Baruch Hashem, most people don't think at all, so it never really comes up as an issue. But if you're a thinking person, and they tell you at high school, here are two facts. Moshe received the entire Torah on Har Sinai and passed it down to us from there. Fact number one. Fact number two, every single page of the Torah seems to have a machlokas on it. Has to have someone disagreeing with somebody. Any thinking person will put fact number one and fact number two together and say, hang on a minute, everything was given to Moshe on Har Sinai and passed down. Everything seems to be all messed up. What do I get from that? Judaism is a mess. It's a mess. No one knows what they're doing. Everyone's doing something different. God has nothing. Like, why should I follow with this? That's a logical, I would have thought, step of argument. And it's wrong because it misunderstands the nature of what happened on Har Sinai, which we're beginning to tease out. It's not so simple that Moshe just got a chumash, certainly not. Got all of the oral law, maybe yes, maybe no. Even according to Rabbi Akiva, it may be that it came in different ways. I'm going to leave you the Chazon Ish to read on your own. The Chazon Ish has this last piece. There's a little piece of Chazon Ish tucked away in Or Chaim, when he's talking about Hilchas Sefer Torah and Kriyas HaTorah rather. And he goes into a long debate about the nature of how Torah was put together. There's actually a bit of a history here. My understanding, I haven't got exactly the clarity on exactly what happened here, but he was teaching a young guy, a young bocher at the time, who, this bocher had a little bit of exposure to biblical criticism and the whole documentary hypothesis and an academic analysis of how to... And he approached the Chazon Ish with some of these questions, and the Chazon Ish gave this understanding, and you'll see what he says there in number 24 about how Moshe Rabbeinu was basically given this very fluid Torah, which he also goes like Rabbi Akiva, but he's saying it was much more fluid, and it only concretized right at the very end. I do recommend that you read the Chazon Ish. It's too late in the day to start analyzing it in great detail. Maybe I'll just pick up one thing here. Let's just look at the last paragraph before you pack away from "and there were changes." And he says there at the end, "and there were changes in the language in the case of some commandments that had been taught in Sinai and at the Ol Moed and at the plains of Moab." So in other words, even according to Rabbi Akiva, it doesn't mean it was the same stuff. The language of the Torah changed. That variation was to hint to us in its written form, the Torah was taught to Moshe at Sinai in the form of Torah Shebaal Peh, as our rabbis have received the tradition to interpret the Torah according to its words, written in short form and those written in long form and those written in translation. As he goes on and on and on and on, doing different things and saying different things, but all on this theme that there's a lot about how the Torah originally came to us. Yes?
That like brings about a lot of questions though, because first of all, like there are no extra words, letters, whatever in Torah. So then wouldn't that mean that like some of it technically like shouldn't be there if it wasn't like originally the same exact from Hashem?
Good.
Also, like a lot of times in the first I'm trying to explain the Torah, and like they'll pick up on a letter in the word that's extra, or like a certain word that's used, and they say, oh, this is the exact reason that it's used, but maybe it's just used because that's...
So you could answer your question quite simply and say, when we talk about Torah, and there being no extra letters in Torah, that Torah means the Torah that we received at the end that was the final product. That's the Torah. Nobody's ever talking about the Torah in the middle of the 40 years because we don't know what that was and we don't have access to it and it was oral anyway, etc. So whenever anyone's talking about Torah, it's the last Torah. What does it mean when the Ramban says that Hashem looked into the Torah and created the world? You all heard that somewhere along the line. We'll deal with that, what that means, what Torah that's talking about as well. How can Torah have preceded Har Sinai on some level? What about the Avos, when it says the Avos kept the Torah? You all heard that, right? The Avos kept the Torah. What on earth does that mean? Which Torah did they keep? They didn't even have a Torah. There wasn't even a Torah. There wasn't a fixed Torah till the end of the 40 years. So what Torah did they keep? That's another discussion, but not for now.
I learned that they studied their body parts, and that's how they learned.
Okay, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. For now, we'll leave it there. The nature of this course, it'll raise more questions than it gives answers. But that's not a bad thing either. That's not a bad thing either. All right. Speak to you soon. Have a nice lunch.